yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. I want to talk about the benefits of the fear of the Lord. Come with me, please, to the book of Psalm 25 and the 14th verse. 25 and 14. Psalm 25 and the 14th verse.
The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant.
Two things. You will never know the secret of the Lord until you fear the Lord. And you will never know his covenant until you fear him. God said in Genesis 18, he said, can I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that he will command his children and his household to walk in my ways and in my statutes? Can I? God is asking a question. He said, I am the Almighty. I am Adonai. I am Elohim. I am Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Nissi. Can I do anything without revealing my secret to Abraham? Why? Because he fears me. You will never know the secrets of the Lord and have advanced knowledge and understand the covenants of God if you don't fear him. Somebody said that the amazing thing about the fear of the Lord is this, that if you fear God, you will never fear anything. If you fear God, you won't fear anything. But if you don't fear God, you will fear everything. If you fear God, you will have fear of nothing. But if you don't fear God, you will fear anything. That is very powerful. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Anybody who despises the fear of God would despise wisdom and instructions. And people who struggle with wisdom and instruction always act foolish. Proverbs 8 and 13.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Is to hate evil.
Pride and arrogance.
Pride and arrogance.
And the evil way.
The evil way.
And the perverse mouth do I hate.
Perverse mouth do I hate. Genesis 22 and 12.
And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me.
People who withhold what is due God and hold back their talents and their time, their commitment to the things of God, the house of God, and their giftings and their skills and their resources are people who don't fear God. If you fear God, you will not withhold anything that is due God. You won't hold back your time. You won't say, as for me, I want to be at the background. As for me, I don't want to be seen. As for me, I don't want to be involved. But you want to be seen in everything. You receive awards. You receive the award. When you are recognized and people sing your praises, you love it. You are willing to use your giftings and talents and skills and time and resources for any other thing but the house of God. It's a clear sign of lack of fear of God. And God said, because you did not withhold your son, your only son, that which you love the most, now I know that you fear God. And I swear by myself as Adonai that in blessings I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thee. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. Multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sea, as the sand of the seashore, because you fear me. One of the signs of the fear of the Lord is not withholding anything from God, whether it's your time or your talent or your obedience or your resources, irrespective of the contradiction and the controversy and the talkings about your obedience. I will not allow my friends, I will not allow my children, I will not allow my wife or loved ones or anybody by any means to override my obedience to God. When you allow voices, when you allow anything to override your obedience and your fear of God, it's a clear sign that you don't fear God. And God said, Abraham, what I want to do with you, you need to prove to the heavenly host that you are worthy of it, and I need something from you. Prove to me that you fear me against all odds. And one of these days, I will show you how that obedience of Abraham led to him and Sarah going their separate ways. It's in the Bible. He didn't tell Sarah about disobedience. He knew how Sarah would act or react. So he took Isaac and didn't tell her and went to sacrifice the boy. And when Sarah heard it, she said, You, after 25 years, my only son, you took him to sacrifice him where? Which God told you to sacrifice him? You were going to kill my son? And the thing brought a contention. And they separated. They went their separate way. Abraham moved to one place. Sarah went somewhere else and lived alone. And when she died, Abraham left where he was and traveled to where she was and found a land and buried her there. Sometime obedience to God will cost you what you love the most. I'm telling you, obedience to God will cost you what you love the most. You think you have love, you think you love things. God will put you to it for you to choose between the things you love the most with him. And if you fail that test, it's a clear indication that you don't fear God. And if you don't fear God, you forfeit the benefits of fearing the Lord. And that's why Solomon could have wisdom in the beginning and yet missed it at the end with all the wisdom. Because wisdom without the fear of God, which is a product of the fear of God, when you have wisdom and you lean on the wisdom and you despise the source of the wisdom, which is the fear of God, that now you have the wisdom, so you don't need what gave birth to the wisdom, you are in trouble. And we are all like that. I've seen people over and over again in business, politics, in the church, pastors, prophets, bishops, men of God, I've seen them. When they get a little bit of exposure and elevation, they change. And I watch them and I laugh. And you know why I laugh? I can predict their end. I know where they are going. They'll crash. And I don't have to get involved in it. I don't have to pray against them. I don't have to say anything. I was telling somebody yesterday that you are on a suicidal mission. Are you sad? And I said, you've been programmed to self-destruct. And he doesn't know it. And he's very powerful. And he has some deep pockets. He's loaded. He can sign a check of $1 million right now. So that is where his confidence is. And he's talking to me, who prayed for him when he had nothing. And today he has made it. And he's talking to me not because we're of the same age and not because he's mature than me, but only because he has something he thinks I don't have. So he's treating me based on something he thinks he had, where his confidence is connected to. And I laughed. And the reason why I laughed is because, you see, my confidence, I'll show it to you, my confidence is not built on sinking sand. My confidence is in a place you can't touch it. And you'll see why I said that as we go along. If you treat me or you treat somebody because of your connection, influence, or something you have which is material or a gift or an anointing, favor, exposure, you are an amateur. I want you to think. The devil doesn't want us to think. He doesn't want us to think. I want you to think. I want you to think. So God said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, nor do anything unto him. For now I know. God will put your fear for him to a test. And one of the ways he does is to see whether anything he has done for you and I is precious and valuable to us more than our fear or love for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise.
It's a very serious scripture here. You know why it's serious? As I was studying, I came to a conclusion yesterday night that wisdom, man, is not intellectual smartness or brilliance. And wisdom has nothing to do with being smart. Because there's a lot of smart people and a lot of people who are intellectually sophisticated and brilliant, but are very evil. I'm telling you. I've seen people who are intellectually brilliant, very, very, very smart, but they are cunning and they are crafty and they are evil. That is not wisdom. That is not the wisdom of God. That is the wisdom of the enemy, the serpent. The wisdom of the serpent. That is not God. Wisdom is not arrogant. Wisdom is not pride. Wisdom does not pop himself and lift himself out. Wisdom does not despise, nor disrespect, nor dishonor elders. And it's one of the problems we have in this nation. People don't have respect anymore for elders. We don't celebrate our elders. People can just insult, disrespect, and talk to elders anyway, anyhow. The westernized way of life is coming to this country. It's coming here. Years ago, one of my daughters was in school in London and spoke to the mother in a way I did not like, and I took her from the school, brought her to Ghana immediately. I removed her from the school. I said, I'm not going to pay all this money I'm paying, preaching night and day, traveling everywhere to make money to pay your school fees. And if this is what you are learning, to disrespect your mother because you don't understand why she's telling you you can't watch TV at a particular time of the night, so you are disrespecting your mother and bank your door, go into your bed, and your mother knocks at your door and you say, go away, I don't want to talk to you. I said, me, I wasn't raised up that way. That kind of disrespect is not acceptable in my house. You are fired. You are going back to Ghana. Go to school in Ghana. And we are bringing that culture to Ghana here, where our children come back from school, they see their parents sitting down talking, having a conversation, and they don't even know how to greet their father, their mother, and they don't even know how to greet strangers and the visitor of their parents. They just walk straight to their room and bang their door, and they are watching telly, and something is wrong. Hear me, those of you sending your children outside to abroad, you better make sure they have good foundation, that their character has already been formed before you send them there. And make sure their character is strong, because evil communication can corrupt and contaminate good manners. So be careful. I know you all want your children to go to the best of school abroad, so you can tell everybody your children went to school abroad. There are great people in this country who never went to school outside, and they are brilliant people. I'm not saying your children shouldn't go to school outside, but check your motive. If you want your children to go to school outside, so you can prove to everybody that your children went to Yale, Oxford, Cambridge, Princeton, Harvard. So that you can also prove something. We are sick in this society. You know why? Because, my children goes to Lincoln. My children go to GIS. And you don't even have the money. And you have to sell things. Sell yourself. Some of you single mothers, you have to sell your body to a married man to give you money, so your children can go to a particular school that every important person in the society's children go there. You are sick. What are you trying to prove? Are you telling me that, stop, are you telling me your children can only accomplish anything in life because of that school they went to? Who told you? There are people who have been to the best of school and they haven't amounted to anything. And there are people who used to go to school not even wearing chale wate. In Ghana here, I'm not saying your children shouldn't go to school abroad, but I'm dealing with motives, reasons, our heart trapped so that our children operate with certain people. Even when it comes to churches, today our children go to certain churches because their friends go to that kind of a church. It's become the club church, a society. Everybody from that school goes to that church, and they all have a page. It's a social media club church, so they all meet in a particular place. Listen, there's a lot wrong with us. And we call ourselves Christians, and we are in church every Sunday morning. Now, I'm not saying you control your children after a particular age. You don't control them. The same with my children, I don't control them. I do the best I can to tell them the right thing. What they do after that is their responsibility. I tell them. I said, I will tell you the truth, son and daughter. Watch me. I've been where you are before. I've done crazy stuff than this. I was talking to one of my son. I woke him up very early. And I said, let me talk to you. I know you love that girl. But I said, women, they don't like you too much if you are not focused. And if you are not going somewhere in life, they can dump you when they see somebody going somewhere and break your heart. So I'm not saying you shouldn't be in love, but before you get in love, before you fall into love, use your head. I know there are no women here. That's why I'm talking. So let's go ahead. Amen. Okay, Proverbs 10:27, quickly. Proverbs 10:27.
The fear of the Lord prolongeth days.
That is the first benefit. The fear of the Lord what?
Prolongeth days.
The fear of the Lord?
Prolongeth days.
How many of you want to live long? Give me a wave offering. You want to live long? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Look at what makes people die prematurely. Read on.
But the years of the wicked shall be shortened.
Simple. Those who don't fear God die prematurely. And I'm not going to go into that. It's just what is written. So don't expect me to explain beyond what is written. And I know some of you may have all kinds of questions, but I'm not going to answer it. Let's go ahead. Okay. Genesis 18. 17. I think I did mention that. So let's go to Psalm 34, verse 7.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them.
You see, so angelic protection and deliverance. Angelic protection and deliverance is part of the benefit of fearing the Lord. So don't expect angels to surround you. And don't expect deliverance from God if you don't fear him. And later, as we go, I will talk about what is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14, 26.
The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death.
Again.
The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death.
So, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of abundance, long life, a fountain of life. And what?
Fountain of life.
A fountain of life. Read it again.
The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. I read it from the NIV.
Yeah, listen to
the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death.
So it will turn you away from the snare of premature death. The fear of the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 13, part of the benefits of the
fear. As the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's NIV.
Compassion. It's a benefit. God will show you and your house compassion. It's a benefit of God. Proverbs 19:23.
The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil.
You will not be visited with evil, and you will have satisfaction in this life. Satisfaction in life. It's a benefit of the fear of the Lord. And if you don't fear the Lord, it doesn't matter what you have, you will always experience insecurity and dissatisfaction. Psalm 103, verse 17.
But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children.
It's upon them that fear him, and his righteousness from generations to generation, or to everlasting, to everlasting. They are all benefits. When you are one that fears God, it's not just about you, but it's also about your kids. Psalm 147, verse 11.
The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy.
The Lord has pleasure in them that fear him. He has pleasure. He takes pleasure in those that fear him. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear him? And remember, those who fear the Lord fear nothing. And those who don't fear the Lord fear everything. Psalm 34, verse 9.
Oh, fear ye the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him.
No want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There is no want to those who fear the Lord. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? And I'm telling you this because you see, it's very, very dangerous. I've been born again for years. And the reason why I'm teaching some of these things, I see how easy it is, not to fear God. Something happened to me this morning before I came into the service. And in my mind, I wanted to slap somebody. You said, Archbishop. Yes. Yes, me. Archbishop. Spiritual man. I wanted to slap somebody. And I said, hey, Archbishop. But it came into my mind. I know you don't think about that. And if I tell you what happened to me, you understand why I wanted to slap somebody. I was ready to come and preach, and somebody locked me up in my office. And all my phone were in the office. I was in the bedroom. They locked me up. Nothing was working. The panic button, nothing. They locked everything up. And I was screaming, shouting in the room. Nobody was hearing me. So I had to come out on the terrace, open the security door, come out on the terrace to shout and call security to go and find somebody to come and open me. So when they came, I said, why did you lock me? And they said, oh, we thought you have gone to the center. I said, how did you, how? Explain to me. When I come out, everybody sees me. My Bible, my message, my microphone, everything is with all of you. And security is sitting here. So how come somebody assume that I'm in the service when I was inside and you locked me up? Who told you to lock me up? And whilst I was there, my flesh and my emotion, and I wanted to... Then I remembered my message, the fear of the Lord. So I said, I'm telling you. And I would have slapped somebody and still come and preach the fear of the Lord. Hello? That was my first temptation. That's why I say pray for me. When I say pray for me, you don't understand. They locked me up. I was banging up. Oh, nobody was hearing me. They locked me. I know you, you never get angry. You are never provoked. Some things never come into your mind. But me, I think about some things sometimes. It crosses my mind. You know, I tell you something about me. Me, I don't like all this nonsense spirituality. Where you are always trying to prove to people that you are very spiritual. That's why I make it simple and practical. You have to make it simple, because this thing, all of us standing, including me, is only grace. It's only grace that allows me to come and stand here and preach. If God takes away grace, me and all who stands here to preach, nobody is qualified to preach. None of us are qualified to preach. I'm telling you. I was telling somebody yesterday that, you know, why I don't condemn people who sing and people who preach and sing and believers who do bad things, because you see, God, he defers judgment to give us time to repent. So when you see people misbehaving and doing bad things, God has deferred judgment. It's not that God doesn't see. His grace working to give you time to repent. And sometimes I become very impatient with some of my own children. When I see them doing things I don't like, and I feel like, why is this child doing this? They are embarrassing me. And God just looks at me and says, look at you. Your main concern is that the child is doing something you don't like. That is embarrassing you. That is your problem. Your problem is not the fact that you remember that you used to be worse than him. And I defer judgment and give you time to repent. Trust me to convict him also. And trust me to save him so he can serve me, not so that he will do what you want. You want him to do what you want. And you were not born an angel. So take it easy. Nobody is above redemption. You see, when you understand God and the grace of God, you will go slow on people. That's why it was good I didn't slap somebody. I would have slapped him. And I would have justified why I did. But I've come to the conclusion that being kind is better than being right. And we can always be right in this world. I'm telling you. We can always be right. And I have reasons to be right. I can tell you things that I look at it all the time and I can misbehave as a human being. You can misbehave, especially when you are power. When you are in leadership, you can misbehave 24/7. You can misbehave. It's very, very dangerous to have power. And it's very dangerous to have resources if you don't understand the purpose of it. And if you don't have the fear of God, it will destroy you like Solomon. It will. Okay, I have just a few minutes to close. Quickly. Psalm 1:1. Psalm 111 verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever.
If you fear God, then you will have good understanding. You will be a man or a woman with a good head. Understanding. Not just understanding, but good understanding. See, I hear you. Proverbs 15, 16.
Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
Again.
Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
Again.
Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
The last time.
Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble therewith.
Mida wasi minya kumpo inye mida wasi miye ewa ewe sewa imye Some praise. On Wednesday, I want to show you 22 benefits of fearing the Lord. 22 benefits of fearing the Lord. I can pray for you for long life, but if you don't fear the Lord, you will die prematurely. You can operate all the principles of prosperity, and if you don't fear the Lord, God will resist you. Please lift up your hands. Create in me a clean heart.
Oh, Lord,
You know, that right spirit within us is the fear of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Look at me, folks. I can preach a lot of things, though. After the second service, I'm preaching somewhere else. And I'm going to preach and stir the place up, and the whole place will be on fire because of the message I'm going to preach. The title of my message is Illumination. Tell somebody, you need illumination. And tell somebody, the answer to your problem is in the discovery of what you have. So discover what you have. I'm dedicating a church of, and the whole place is going to be charged. I know how to work the thing. I can work this thing. I know how to hoop. But you know, I'm giving you the best meal.
Ooh, yeah, take. Yeah.